Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Thinker Girls. All the things you're thinking, but not saying.
I'll be thinking.
Welcome to Thinker Girl, the podcast. You are joined by the Thinker Girls, Stacey June.
And Christy Mercer. Welcome.
Oh, I am so excited for you to hear this episode this week.
Yeah, I've got to say, this is probably one of my faves. I know I've said that a couple of times.
Yeah,
and we've said that to
people.
A couple of people. Oh, you're our fave. You're our fave, hot seat hottie. So I feel a bit like it's not genuine, but I mean it. Like, this is definitely one of our fave guests.
Well, I'm not really big on Twitter. Stacey_June, if you want to follow me. But no, but I'm not. And as soon as we finished recording this, I was like, oh my God, I have to just, I don't know, I just felt compelled to let people know that we were chatting to this particular gem. Now, just a quick touch base. How have you been this week? It's freezing in Melbourne.
Yeah, it's been really cold up here on the coast as well. I've been tired. I'm just not sleeping well. I'm just a bit all over the shop this week.
Why?
I don't know. I've just been having weird dreams. People with no mouths. I don't know what it's saying.
What the hell?
I don't know. You can interpret it later.
Have you had look it up in my Louise Hay book.
Have you had a good week?
I've had an okay week. Things are going to get pretty exciting though, because this particular chick, are we going to start calling her Lane Beachley? Now, I tell you what, she has just been such an important space in terms of women in sport. And I really don't think we understand just how much, young mate.
Yeah, you're right. She's not just a champion in her own right, 7-time world champion, but throughout her career and even post-career, what she has done for the plight of women in setting up so many female-only charities is pretty mental. So we're pretty excited to talk to Lane.
Yeah, she's going to give us a bit of an idea of what she's doing now too. But can I also tell you, in 2005, she did win the Teen Choice Awards.
What?
Female Athlete of the Year. And I don't even think we've said that she's a surfer yet.
Sorry.
That don't know.
Well, people know who Lane Beachley is.
I just had to double check. And we've got some people that listen over in the States. So maybe they don't know.
Can you believe that her last name's Beachley? Isn't that just the most aptly titled last name ever?
Hello, Lane speaking.
Hi, Lane speaking.
Hi, it's the Thinker Girls here, Stace and Christy. How are you going?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, we're so excited to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Where do we Thanks find you? What are you doing?
I'm currently baking, believe it or not.
Oh.
And it's not one of my strongest points, but I bought my husband a Thermomix last year, and I have been getting so much baking joy. And the way it's through to any man's heart is through his stomach, as we know. And I've just baked macadamia, lemon, and coconut oil cookies.
Oh, stop it. Where'd you get that recipe?
From my Thermomix cookbook.
Of course. And you say it so like, duh. Like, is it my Thermomix cookbook, duh? But if you don't have $1,000 billion, we don't know what a Thermomix cookbook is, because they're so expensive.
Well, the Thermomix is expensive, and I can see why people who have kids will swear by them, but I've just been having fun baking with it.
It's amazing. And like you, I'm not a baker, so I think that would be really useful for me too.
Yes, I think it's useful to inspire you to get baking.
Well, Lane, us povos that'll never be able to afford a Thermomix, you're going to have to tweet us the link or text us or something.
Yeah, can you do that?
Sure.
Can you use is the Thermomix recipe available for the oven or not?
Yeah. You've got to mix it in the Thermomix and then you put it in the oven.
No, but what if you don't have a Thermomix, Lane? Can I still get the recipe and bake what you made? Okay.
Yeah, you can still make it in a blender. Even.
With the old hand beater, perhaps.
The old hand beater. I don't know. Yeah.
It'll taste a bit shit. Not as exclusive.
Remember the hand beaters? Like how you had the two things at the bottom and then you could lick it when your mum.
I've still got
amazing.
One.
Got one. Yeah. And then sometimes if it was on when you're watching TV, the TV would go all wrinkly.
Yeah. Or fuzzy.
Wrinkly.
If you haven't listened to our show before, welcome. We are two chicks talking thoughts you're thinking but not saying, and joined by a hot seat hottie, Lane Beachley, this week, where we We chew the fat, and we've all got something on our mind. We are reined in by Philip the Duck. If you haven't listened to our show before, make sure you check out some other episodes on iTunes or podcast.thinkagirl.com.au. Ladies, what is on our mind this week? Lane, what are you thinking but not saying?
Well, I've just been caught off guard calling a hottie in a hot seat. I've never experienced
that. I heard you giggling down the line. I was wondering what you were laughing at.
I thought you may have changed. I thought maybe you were, like, for some reason, changed your name or something. I was like, I fucked that up. What's happened there?
No. One thing I would not agree to when I got married was taking someone else's name. I'm a Beachley through and through.
Oh, well, Lane, you should have joined us a couple of weeks ago. That was the topic of conversation.
Yeah.
Do we have to change our name?
Yeah, no, I'm with you with that.
Oh, yeah, we all are. And I like my name.
Yeah, I like mine too. I think it's the most appropriately named.
Well, it's ridiculously appropriately named,
isn't it?
Yeah,
it's actually kind of weird in the coolest way possible. But tell us, what's on your mind?
Yeah, enough about me. Let's talk about what's on my mind. I've been in a really interesting conundrum lately because coming through the Pro Tour in the early 90s, I felt, almost in my humble opinion, I felt like we'd lost the benefit of gender. Because women were so desperate and so hungry for their male counterparts' respect and recognition that we lost the benefit of gender because they wanted to act like men, dress like men, and surf like men to be one of the men, be one of the boys.
Mm, yeah, right.
And I understand the game that we play to be one of the boys and be accepted by the boys, but not at the sacrifice or the compromise of being a girl. Mm. And so when I came on tour, I saw this game going on, and I distinctly remember back in 1993, I showed up to a press conference for a surf event in a little black dress, and it caused quite a stir that one of the surfers had shown up in a dress. So anyway, long story short.
Because it was a bit sexy?
Yes.
You should have been dressed more like, because surfing was a bloke sport, so you've got to act like a bloke.
But Lane, what were chicks normally wearing? Like what, khaki pants and shorts and stuff?
Board shorts, jeans, baggy
hot tuna
shirt,
skater
nothing.
Shoes.
Yeah. Piping hot.
Was complimentary. Piping hot. That was hot back then. But nothing that was very sexy or complimentary or, you know, that was worth really giving any compliment about.
Yeah, right. Or feeling, or really having your femininity shown.
Yeah, or embracing your femininity. Mm. And, so fortunately the women's tour has changed a lot since then. But fortunately there was the likes of American and Lisa Anderson who came, she was on the scene at the time, and she started to embrace her femininity. And it was actually her idea to start Roxy. It was her idea to, because she was sponsored by Quicksilver, it was her idea to promote or to ask them if she could surf in board shorts that were made for women.
Because I remember, Lane, this is when probably we were in primary school, and it was it was a thing where people had discovered Roxy, and they were like, oh, Roxy is basically two Quicksilver logos just together.
It was also
in the
Love Hut. Yeah, in the Love Hut.
It was a real revelation, though. I mean, I grew up traveling. But in terms of the chick feel of surfwear, like I remember growing up, I grew up around Torquay, for our holidays, we had a caravan down there. So it was my life, everything about kind of surfwear as a teenager. And I remember Roxy always feeling, I don't know, it was almost like it was there as an option and you loved it, but you still did find yourself wearing bigger T-shirts and other stuff that was still blokey. Well, it's interesting. Took a while for it to catch on.
It did. I think it was the hangover of the fashion from the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I was in the 90s, so I was really behind.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Funny. So, anyway, what I was alluding to, and I've gone well off track, but what I was alluding to
is what happens on this show.
Sorry. That's our fault.
Chatting. It's what happens when girls get together. No wonder they call us chicks. It's like, you should hear it when girls are in the water, too. We're all sitting out the back going,
it's a bit squawky, isn't it?
Yeah. Shut the fuck up, chicks. Stop having so much fun. What's the deal with you lot? Take your estrogen and take it home. I found that when you started to embrace your femininity and when you lived authentically, then that's when you were able to bring the best version of yourself every day. And that's when you're no longer defined by external factors. It's no longer when you're dictated to. And as women, I find that there's very few female pioneers because we seem to think that we're not capable of doing it until we see another woman do it first.
Mm.
But as Sheryl Sandberg suggested in Lean In, how many women are willing to lean in? And then once they do lean in, once they do rise to the occasion, once they do become the trailblazer or the pioneer or the creator of something special, how many of them actually turn around and create a platform or a supporting network or mentoring for other women to do the same? How many women actually turn around and provide authentic, 100% pure, unconditional support for other women to succeed or ultimately actually succeed them?
It's really funny that you raised this before, and we said, oh, it's so hilarious considering we've done the show coming up to 2 years towards the end of the year and we haven't really touched on this.
Mm.
And I had a bit of a second when I was listening to you think about it, and I think it's because Christy and I are the exact opposite of it. You know, our whole brand is built about being supporters of women, of being friends. I mean, if you saw Christy and I and we were any other chicks, you would imagine that we'd be massive competitors. Like, you would assume the right thing for us to do in terms of the stereotype of what women are, and I've never thought about this, young mate, that we should absolutely be going head-to-head against each other. We went for the same jobs. We wanted the same things. We're both from Melbourne. We want the same end goal. Yet we found this real beautiful common understanding of the fact that there was room for everyone and that there was a lot of room that we needed to beat down in terms of gender equality. And so we didn't think about this when we were doing it, P.S. Like, it just ended up.
But it did
end up being that way. And it is interesting because I think a lot of people, I guess, were surprised without even realizing why they were surprised that two girls would get together, because two girls are generally competing against each other.
Yeah,
and I've never thought about that until now.
Yeah, but I think the reason is, and that is surprising, is because often there is only space for one. There's only space for one chick.
So?
Yeah, no, but I'm not saying right now, and there shouldn't be at all, Lane, but I feel like...
And we're talking radio jobs, I guess.
Yeah, sorry, I'm talking radio... P.S. Yeah, P.S. We're talking... within a space of radio, there's only... I want a show or, like, you know, as the next up-and-comer or whatever, often there is only that one space for that one chick. And potentially, maybe that's why girls seem to be more competitive with other girls, because there's just less opportunities, like, in the past than there are for blokes.
And we're living in it a little bit too much. And we're allowing the past to dictate what we do in the future. And our past isn't our future. And I've been selling a women's leadership program that I've developed with a friend of mine that I'm really excited about launching, because I want to see more female leaders in the corporate environment.
I mean, the idea came from the fact that you do feel like there is a lack of support for women. Was that in the experience that you have now as well as surfing?
Yes. Essentially, I started a foundation 13 years ago called the Aim for the Stars Foundation, and you spoke to Madison O'Grady recently, who's one of my recipients, one of my scholars. And the Aim for the Stars is all about providing financial and moral support for young girls to invest in their future and fulfill their potential in all walks of life. And it surprised me that there's a million charities out there that are doing incredible things, making amazing differences to people who are sick or dying or terribly disadvantaged, but no one's supporting people who actually have initiative and drive and creativity and passion and actually want to make a difference in the world. And the reason I started it is because in 1993 or 4 and 5, I was number 2 in the world, earning $8,000 a year from my primary sponsor, working 60 hours a week in four different jobs.
Are you joking?
Yeah,
it's just absolutely fucked.
It was just bullshit, right? So I was looking after I won my sixth consecutive.
And sorry to interrupt you, Lane, but just to give everybody a bit of perspective, what would have been the equivalent if you were a male? So the second rank, second. What would an average sponsorship be they would have been paid? Yeah.
Oh, several hundred thousand dollars.
Jesus,
compared to your what? $8,000.
$8,000.
Fucking hell. Yeah. So full on.
Yeah, so there's a major disparity between the sport, and that's coming up against the draconian bastion of surfing. So the attitude of the people who make the decisions was that, well, the men are worth it and the women aren't, because you don't result in a commercial dollar being spent on bikinis just because you wear a bikinis. And that was the mentality of the owners of the companies. So we're up against a bit of an attitude. But what I was alluding to is that I wanted to quit. I wanted to give it up. You know, it was all too hard.
Because of that?
Because, well, financially, I could not afford or support myself without having to divide my time between working and training and surfing. I was actually working 60 hours a week, surfing 1 hour a week and training 5 hours a week.
And, Lane, was that at your peak when you say I wanted to quit? Were you
at the peak before I won my first world title?
So people would look at you and go, oh, she's so great. Look at her. What a trailblazer. Yeah. She's at the absolute top of her game, the top of her sport. But have zero idea that you were contemplating leaving because you just couldn't physically and financially couldn't.
Yeah, exactly. It was all too hard. It was a pain in the ass, actually. And so, fortunately, I had really, I don't know how to refer to these people other than just some of the most important people in my life, people who respected me, who had compassion and understanding for me, but also were honest with me. And I refer to the difference between surrounding yourself with life vampires or dream thieves versus surrounding yourself with honesty barometers. And I was very fortunate that I learnt very early on, especially growing up surfing at Manly, that the importance of surrounding yourself with honesty barometers. And these were the kind of people that when I expressed my dissatisfaction or discontent with my state of being, that they would ask me the hard questions. So how much are you putting into this? Or, you know, how much more do you need to do? Or are you investing yourself wholeheartedly to make sure that you achieve the results that you want? And when I can answer yes, then I know I've given it everything, but very rarely could I answer yes.
Lane, can I ask who those people were? Like, was it obviously more than a couple of people? Was it friends or family members, or who was it?
Oh, okay. So in the early years, one of my employers, a guy called Grant McMinn, he was one of the owners of the old Manly boat shed at Manly. That was a pub I used to work at between 6 at night till 4 in the morning on Friday and Saturday nights. And he was the one that had empathy for me and said, here's your next round the world air ticket. I believe in you. And
that's amazing.
Oh, I've run out of time.
No. We'll make time. Keep going. Manly anyway. Dude, continue. Yeah.
So that was the catalyst for me to invest in myself and pay it forward. And it was essentially when I reflect, after winning my sixth world title, that was the moment I reflected on that inspired the creation of Aim for the Stars. Another person who had a massive difference in my life is my personal trainer, a guy called Rob Roland Smith, who gave me some real honest advice and guidance and wisdom. My surf coach, Steve Foreman, other world champions like Barton Lynch and Wendy Botha and Pam Burridge. Just different people at different periods. Even Daryl Eastlake, big old Daz. He even gave me some great advice, you know, because I wanted to quit. And he said, basically, if you win a world title, you'll set yourself up for life. Well, that wasn't the case because I didn't have a penis, but at least I won 7 of them and then I did set myself up for life. But
it's so funny, Lane, you say this today. I said to Christy, I just feel like we'll get there, particularly as two chicks. We kind of, everything you're saying really still rings very true to us in 2015, which is a real bloody shame.
It is.
But I think it is that, I mean, we probably won't have to fight as hard as you, but we still have to fight a bit more, you know, and that's what I was a bit frustrated at today. I was like, if this was this and this, and I won't go into details, but, and I never really get too bitter, do I, young mate? Like, I kind of just go, well, we got to do it, we'll do it. If we need to fight harder, we'll just fight harder. Like, we'll just break the chain a
Don't
bit.
Get bitter, get better.
Nah, but I just kind of went today, I went, oh, fucking hell. Like, if this was the equivalent, like, we just wouldn't have had to do this extra 6 months or this extra 3 years or this extra bit that it feels like we have to do to prove ourselves. It just gets a little bit, you get a little bit frustrated.
I can understand that. And the frustration has to be short-lived. And even men feel, you know, they get that sense of frustration too because they're comparing themselves to other men as well. And then that frustration comes only from that sense of comparison. So you have to stop comparing yourself and just start being realistic and then get dissatisfied. Stop being frustrated because that's when you're laying the blame and pointing the finger and it's everyone else's fucking fault. And then just get dissatisfied and go, what the hell am I going to do about
it? It's so true. But with the lack of support for women and going back just to before we move on, what would be, I mean, where are you standing with the foundation you're creating and what would you like to see happen over the next 12 months?
Well, the foundation is actually going from strength to strength because we're getting our ducks in a row. We're aligning our vision with our mission and our values, and we're articulating what that is, the difference that it's making, and the difference it's making to the girls we're supporting. The other program I was alluding to is called the Rise Institute, and this is a program for corporate executive women who want to step up and lean in and become senior executives within their organizations and actually become better versions of themselves. Mm. And I've been selling this to all the big corporates around Australia for the last probably month or so, 2 months actually. And I have to say that the people who have been the least supportive of this whole thing are women.
I know. Mm. I knew you were going to say that. And isn't this interesting earlier when, and this is the reason that I asked you, Lane, who those people yep. were, who those truth barometers were, and the people that really gave you a kick up the ass.
Yeah, because it wasn't women with their checkbooks, trying to get you around the world.
Yes.
Like, fuck, no.
But yes. What I wonder, I don't know, like it's obviously so important for men to be supportive and be like, all right, well, let's do it. You know, stop complaining. Let's actually do it. But I think you're right. You're right. It needs to also be women. And I think that's probably the most important part. Supportive of others.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's this thing about champions of change with men? Like, why are we championing something that should just be normal anyway?
What do you mean?
Well, in the corporate world, they refer to these men who are really supportive of women, whether they sponsor them or they mentor them or they propel them or promote them through the organisations. And these men are referred to as champions of change.
Oh, we're clapping the dudes because they're giving women equal rights.
Yeah.
I've had this argument with my bestie, actually. My bestie is the same. She's like, I think we just need to have that expectation. And I said to her, because I think we're a little bit of a step ahead with our thought process. I don't think everybody is where we are, and that's why I think that people need the pat on the back, because I don't think that everybody is at the same place that we are. And that's why. No. I just feel like sometimes those things happen because we have to be realistic.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Where the majority sits, and that is not where we are currently sitting, the three of us talking here.
Yeah.
No, we're it's not. We're not the majority. Unfortunately, we're a majority.
And that is why I think that happens. Yeah. okay, young mate, do you want to go up next or do you want me to go?
I'm going to talk. This will be interesting to get your take, Lane, and your take, Stace, on this off the back of what you were just talking about. I'm going to ask a question, and don't shoot me down for this because I feel like it goes against everything that I believe in, yet I sometimes, and I kind of think it's true, I wonder whether it's just a woman's job to do the housework. And hang on, hear me out here. And I don't mean do it.
I love that Lane's the one going you for once. Like, usually it's me trying to stop convulsing at these kinds of questions, which I must say.
I'd really like to know why you're asking it.
Well, I love my young mate because she'll just always throw them out honestly. Like, this is why it's good to workshop it. So please, let's workshop. Yeah. Continue.
Well, yeah, let's go. I am a feminist through and through, in the sense that I believe equal for every part, whether it's in the workplace or out of, at home or not. But I've only just recently, Lane, moved in with my boyfriend, although we've been together for about 6 and a bit years, we've never actually lived together, and everyone was a bit like, oh, how will this go, you know, and it's been fine. It's actually been an absolute dream. But there is that element of me picking up the slack in terms of little things around the house that needs to be done. And although, like, we're pretty even, Stephen, and he's very supportive and helpful, you know, and from a certain perspective, we do both help out. But I'm talking about in terms of being the delegator of going, oh, the sheets haven't been washed in 1.5 weeks. We better pop them in the wash. Or, the floor's a bit dirty. We better do that. Oh, we better take the bin out. Or, hey, the washing was finished 3 hours ago and it's still sitting wet in the machine. I need to hang that out. And it's funny because when I'm saying this, it sounds so petty.
You're like the jobs project
it's
manager.
It's so petty to be like, oh, whatever, just take it out of the bloody machine yourself. But at the same time, I'm like, well, I shouldn't have to. And I get so frustrated because I try really hard not to be that whinging, nagging girlfriend that's like, do this and do that, and you're writing a jobs list and you need to help me with this and that. So I just copped it for a time, and I don't know, I was like really frustrated. I think I was on the phone to mum or dad, I can't remember who, and they were like, well, that's not fair, you both work full time. And I said, I think it was mum actually, because I said, do I just need to accept that it's often a woman's, falls on the woman to just pick up the slack and be the delegator, not to do all of the work at all, but there needs to be a team leader in there somewhere, you know, that does the delegation, or you writes the list, or decides what needs to be done when, and then asks the other person to do it.
Mm. Okay.
Does there? That's the question.
Well, if it comes down to getting the job done, then yeah. I'm in a bit of... It's a tough one for me because my husband is my wife.
God love him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What, so is he doing all those, doing the things that I was talking about?
He does the cooking, the cleaning, the ironing, the shopping, the mail, the garbage, the errands. He plans meals. He decides, what are we going to eat tonight? What do I need to get? Let me know what's on the shopping list. And he goes, gets it. Okay, when did I last wash the sheets? I better wash them. He has a method to how he hangs them out, so he just likes to hang them out on his own. I just run out.
Even the fact, though, Lane, you called him the wife is interesting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, we do laugh at Christy and what she's saying, but then at the same time, he's the wife, you know. And so it is interesting because I'd love to get to a point where we weren't overthinking the gender stuff, in that we also do fall naturally as carers. That is, there is also some of the stuff that we look for with equality, but there is also some of the stuff that's genetically kind of put into us of what we go to do. I'm a maternal person, but that doesn't mean I want to do the bathroom more than any other guy. Like, trust me.
Exactly.
So when it comes to me, and when I've been in relationships in the past, I've really struggled because I felt like it just wouldn't get done. And then I kind of felt like maybe in the end I hadn't met my match. Not saying that's the case for you, Christy, but I'm just saying I think that sometimes we can also do our heads in extra that you shouldn't be doing it because you want equality. Whereas if you want that stuff done and it's more important to you, sometimes it also isn't about the gender and it's about the people. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, 100%, because you knocked it on the head when you said, if it's important to you, then get it done. And it comes down to your value system.
Rather than a gender.
Rather than a gender.
It's actually more than that. It's like, well, what's important to me eating tonight? I'm pretty sure that's fairly important to him also. You know, like those things where you go.
So you would take a proactive approach to it if it was.
Yeah,
So I think the thing as well is if you start to feel something else. So if you feel like you don't want to do it, or is it pissing you off that he doesn't want to do it? That's the catch.
Yeah. I don't want to do it at all. Like, none of it is really important to me. I couldn't give a shit if I had dirt on the floors, and I couldn't give a shit if the bloody shower was dirty, and I can't give a shit if the sheets haven't been washed in 2 weeks. But there needs to be somebody who does it. And I'm just sick of feeling like that somebody always has to be me. Like, I don't think there's, like, for instance, if I was just a clean freak and it's like, all right, it's important to me, get over the fact that I care about it more than he does. So I'll just cop that, because
it's confusing because I was like that too.
It has to be you.
Well, because if I don't, it just doesn't happen.
Have you tried?
Yes. I actually have, and I didn't have underwear. Like, I had to go to work without underwear on. Like, it actually got that bad because I tested the situation.
Oh, no, that's that old chestnut.
I won't do it just as a test to see. Yeah, sorry, Lane.
I just want to ask Kirk a question because he's standing right here with me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can
you put him on speaker?
Sure, hang on. we're having a debate. Say hi, girls.
Hi, girls.
Hi, Kirk. We're the Thinker Girls. You're like us. You're like the only man we've ever had on this show. But we hear that you're a wife man, so welcome.
I am a wife man, yeah. I do all the cleaning, cooking, gardening.
You look like you cut your chin.
And like in shaving.
No, so we're having a discussion. Can you shut that duck up?
Yeah, sorry, guys. Sorry, sorry. Sorry, Lane.
Can you explain to Kirk the context of this discussion?
So the idea is, Kirk, that I just wonder whether it is more a woman's job, or it seems to often fall on the woman to be the delegator around the house.
Talk in your personal experience, though. What's got, like, quickly just give him an idea of how you're feeling.
Well, I just feel pissed off because I feel like if I don't do it, it never gets done. So it's not that it's more important to me.
That's how I feel.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's my point. That's so funny.
What I would say is it's not a woman's or a man's role to be a delegator. It's just person to person.
That's what I said, Kirk. I'm Stacey, the A-plus student over here.
Oh. Yeah, right. You go A-plus. Isn't that milk? It's some people are delegators and some people aren't, and it's however it falls within a relationship. Certainly, Lane delegates in some areas and I delegate in others, but certainly I feel trodden on and I do all this stuff and no one appreciates it, and that's it. I'm going to go and cry in a corner.
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, basically, that's you and Christy together.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I don't think it's gender specific. I think it's just however it falls within a relationship.
And I think it's one of those things.
Some people are better at it than others.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things that's got a bit murky because women always did have to do it. Then we've come out here and you go, okay, so hang on a second. Am I signed up for this from my
predecessors.
Yeah.
Predecessors. Yeah. Am I signed up from those dudes or those chicks, I should say? And is it, this is a gender thing? I think this is one thing that you're right. It actually isn't. And it's a personality thing, and he doesn't seem to give a shit as much as you.
Yeah, well, I think you just have to. I think you're reading into it too much. It's just whoever's good at it and who's not. You know, there's leaders and there's followers.
So Kirk, what you're saying is you and I, dude, we're the leaders.
We're
essentially. Bye, Kirk.
Bye now.
He doesn't want to hear the next topic, trust me.
No, that's it. That's enough from me.
Thanks, Lane.
All right, well, that gives us some idea. And you know what really was interesting, and I'm so glad you put him on the phone. What was really interesting about that is when he was like, and you would imagine another chick to say exactly what he said, like, I hear you, sister.
Yeah.
But he was I hear ya. Like, he was like, that's exactly how I feel. And hearing that come out of a man's mouth is really quite interesting.
Very different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
refreshing.
It's fucking refreshing.
But as long as whoever does the work, as long as they're recognised for it, then that actually makes it worth.
Well, that's what I was going to say, and you need to look at other ways that you're getting partnership. So I guess if you are still feeling a little bit like, I'm due more, you know, I guess it's just about looking at your relationship as a whole rather than just looking at that part. And is there other things that he can bring to the table that you are happy not to?
Yeah, and I think honestly, if you got a thanks, if it was like, thanks for doing that, or, oh, that tea was nice, or cheers, I didn't have time to do that, I probably wouldn't feel as jaded or pissed off as I do.
Well, that's something you've got to talk to old mate about.
You've got to learn to say thank you. You've got to talk to old mate. Definitely.
Yeah, just say, look, I'm happy to do it because it seems like I want to get onto it quicker than you, but it is annoying. I don't love it, so it'd be nice to be appreciated.
And I'm happy to do it, and Kirk told me that I'm a leader, and I'm the team leader here.
And he'll laugh at you, like, out of the two of you, you're the leader. He's like, Christy. Oh, God.
Christy, you're a leader of a dreamer.
Yeah. Actually, that's really true.
Yeah.
That's really true. All right, Philip went off 80 years ago. So I had a bit of a nice night out with...
30-minute show?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we've gone a little bit over. I was having some nice sexy times with a boy.
Ooh.
Well, it wasn't really sexy times yet. It was just, I was having a bath. And I'm not going to go into the details of how I got into the bath, because that's just means it's just hilarious how this all happened really quickly in this particular relationship. It's not, you know, when I say relationship, I just use the word quite loosely. And all of a sudden things started to get a little bit interesting. And before anything went too far, I started to think, what contraception do I need in the bath?
A condom.
Yeah.
No, really?
Yeah.
I had to ask myself that question. So before I actually ended up having sex with this guy, which didn't happen in the bath, the thought crossed my mind that I could have sex with him in the water and nothing would be wrong with that. Like, I wouldn't fall pregnant and I would be safe from other diseases. Like I said at the beginning of this show, I don't rate myself on Einstein smart levels, but I do rate myself a fairly intelligent person. How the fuck did I not fucking know that that is a load of bullshit?
I've got no idea. I don't understand why you would think that you're protected from falling pregnant or a disease
in the water. Like, the sperm is going to float away. Like, what was I thinking?
Did you think
water is not a contraception?
No, baby, it's not. Did you think that maybe the water was going to be a buffer because the water's in there? Because essentially, I think if you have sex in water, and someone told me this once and I've been too freaked out ever to do it, they're like, never have sex in a spa because it pushes the water into you.
Chrissy does this voice, like her friends all sound like this person. Never do this. Like a grandma almost.
No, I've just heard that that's bad. So I've always thought that.
I don't know. I don't know if a past boyfriend has told me this in the past, that, you know, if you have sex in water, it's okay. And I've just believed it and then carried on through my adult life. But I just, is there stuff that you guys learnt later that makes you feel really dumb? Like, I guess it was so shocking that I thought I need to share it on the podcast. Maybe no one in their right mind is thinking this, but maybe there are 5 people that have listened that have heard this rumor that potentially could go in for unprotected sex and thought that it was going to be okay. I was looking at him and going, oh, can we? Like, can we? And he's looking at me like, are you fucking lost your mind? Are you a loose as a goose girl? Like, is this, who's this chick that I've hooked up with?
So he was onto it. So he knew that you
weren't. He's the one that told me, which is why it was so embarrassing, because here I am trying to protect myself, like, as two, you know, consenting adults, you protect yourselves. But here I am thinking I'm good to go. Like, I just felt so stupid. And we're so intimate. I've known the guy for 7 seconds and he's drawing me a bath. Like, already it's like, quite extreme.
I mean, I think that's...
Yeah, I didn't really want to go into that part, but...
That's what I'm more intrigued in. I don't really care about the contraception part.
But, well, I do. And I think that there are people that may not know this. Now, you two are both also looking at me like the guy was looking at me, like you are batshit crazy. But I think that there's sex stuff that we were told when we were younger that carried on till way later, until a scenario like this happened.
Yeah, Kirk used to think that if he kissed a girl on the butt, it'd make her pregnant.
How
old? What?
How old are you? How old were you when you thought that?
Bloody Kirk.
Four?
Kirk's back.
Four?
No, he said 23, but I think it was only about 4.
Oh, my God, 8. I'm 31.
Wow. we all have valuable lessons late in life.
Do you know what? I'm waiting for either of you to jump in with something here. And the best you've got is kiss someone on the bum when someone was 4. This is so even more.
Here we go. I've got one. I thought that when you were a virgin and you had sex for the first time, because often in movies and stuff, when your hymen or breaks or whatever, you know those like medieval movies and they'd like bring out the sheet and show the blood? I thought that when you had sex for the first time, no, honestly, don't laugh at Mimi's water sex.
No.
I thought that you always bled when you had sex for the first time, and I was wondering why I didn't.
Some people do, don't they?
I know, but some people do, but I thought it was just a given that everybody...
Yeah, period almost.
Yeah, that it was just something that happened.
I still don't really understand I understand the breakage, but I don't understand how you don't bleed, to be honest. No. Do you know what I mean?
Me neither. No, I think it's
because we're more active perhaps than we used to be. So if, you know, like with sports or, you know, like riding a horse, or often it can break during physical.
Remember reading that in Dolly?
Yes.
There's so many ways that your hymen can break. You might be riding a horse. You might be doing gymnastics on the beam. You might be doing all these.
Yeah.
All these ways that your hymen can break other than a penis?
But did they actually describe...
Oh, no.
Lane Beachley's in the bath. Are you still there?
I went underwater for a second. I wanted to try it out.
She went to check out the sperm if she could catch it.
We'll leave you a curb to it. Get back to us in 9 months.
We'll
test your theory. Oh, that's funny.
All right. Well, on that note,
we can't talk. Has spoken.
Philip's reining us in. He's like, there's no more that can be done on that, Gem. It's just a confession and almost like a public service announcement. For anybody that was also thinking this, you need to use contraception in a bath. That is the message.
That's unquestionable.
That's the message. Yes. Just the 411. Lane Beachley, it's been amazing to have you on the show. If people want to find out some more about your foundation or follow you on Twitter, where can they find you?
So the Aim for the Stars Foundation is www.aimforthestars.com.au. If they want to know about my women's leadership program, it's riseinstitute.com.au. And if they want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Lane C. Beachley.
And Lane, just before you go, can we just give you a freaking round of applause for the work that you're doing? Because it's actually amazing, honestly.
And the work that you've done before, earning your $8,000 in your 60 hours, like, you know, that stuff doesn't, as much as, you know, I think a lot of girls struggle with this feminist word and all this kind of stuff, I know I can speak for everyone in saying that we do appreciate the stuff that people like yourself did to move kind of forward, you know.
I appreciate that. I know the impact I've had and I'm proud of it.
Yeah, awesome. Lane.
You go, girl.
I have ownership of my accomplishments.
Yeah, that's unreal.
Yeah, that's really good.
I feel like I'm going to walk out of this studio and do a cartwheel and a karate kick.
Can you film it? I want to see that.
We film everything, so that's easily done.
Cool.
As you have heard, follow Lane. If you heard her, you're inspired by her like we are, and you enjoyed the show, make sure you let her know. We are on iTunes. You can subscribe to this and many, many other episodes with amazing women doing really exceptional things. So jump on to iTunes, Think A Girl the Podcast, or find us at podcast.thinkagirl.com.au. And for your fix during the week, we have a truckload of video stuff, all kinds of cool articles, just funny bullshit that we put up just to pass the week. And you can find us at facebook.com/thinkagirls. All right, ladies, have a good one.
Lane.
Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for all that you're doing for other girls too.
Oh, thanks, Lane. Catch you later, bitches.
Bye. See you, chicks. Bye.
Next week on Think You Girl the Podcast, we're joined by Nadia Bartel.
Yeah, she chats to us, young mate, about parties. Are you a party girl? Do you love to have them? Or are you a person that freaks out at the attention?
Yeah, it's just this feeling that I have. I feel like it's really, everyone's there for you. It's awkward. I feel like, I don't know if they want to attend, but they need to be there for you. And all the limelight's on you. And I don't know, there's just so many things I don't feel comfortable with. But then for my 30th, I did have a party, and that's because my husband basically forced me.
Were you eavesdropping on this conversation? Follow the Thinker Girls at facebook.com/thinkergirls or Thinker Girl TV on Twitter.
Psst, hey you, you looking for some more?
Well, clearly they're sticking around for something.
What have we got, Christy? What have we got to give them?
Go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/thethinkergirls. There's heaps of cool videos up there.
Yeah. Some live shows of this podcast we've got. What else have we got?
Cool girl stuff.
Yeah. Just head there. youtube.com/thethinkergirls.
Can we stop whispering now?
Okay.
That sounded really creepy.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.